That "for you" in the preaching goes all the way through the scripture. In fact, Peter picks up on it when he deals with Christian suffering in his first epistle. The people are asking Peter, why are we suffering so much? And Peter's basic response to the question of suffering is this: Christ also suffered.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Hey, how come there's suffering in the world? Christ also suffered. Hey, how come things are so bad? Christ also suffered. Six times he says it. Christ also suffered. And he says it like this in there: Christ also suffered for you.
You can listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case of Jesus for You, on an audio DVD from the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conferences. We'll send it to you for a recommended donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Just click the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Behold, the Lord comes to save us.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to
the Lord comes to save us.
reading from Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Today is the last day of the winter quarter. For 2017, anyway. Some may have a class or two yet, then you're out of here for 3 weeks. There's an eschatological tone to this day in our seminary lives. Yet there's the recognition that things are still ongoing, not quite finished. It may feel like a finishing point of sorts, but we still haven't reached the end. Similarly, our reading from Philippians chapter 3 carries this Advent tension. Things already, but not yet. Things begun and certain, but ongoing, and not brought to the fullness of their fruition. In our text, Paul sets before us the reality that as Christians, we pursue what is already ours in Christ. In the verses that precede our text, St. Paul has warned the Philippians to watch out for evildoers and mutilators of the flesh, those Judaizers who insisted on circumcision and other Old Testament rules. We are the circumcision, Paul insists. We who worship by the Spirit of God and boast, or who have our honor status in Christ Jesus, rather than in our own flesh and deeds. If anyone had a reason for confident boasting in the flesh, surely it was St. Paul, and he marshals out his credentials in verses 5-6. But all of that he lost, willingly, and counts it as rubbish, a dung heap, speaking very much in the vernacular of his day. Paul's worth, his real honor, is not in himself, but in Christ, who by his suffering, death on the cross, and resurrection, has achieved true righteousness, a righteousness he reckons to all who are found in him through faith, as we hear in verses 9-11. And in a place like Concordia Theological Seminary, we need to be reminded from time to time that our true worth is not in our fleshly academic credentials. This may be your vocation here and now. Don't leave your books and assignments behind. Keep pursuing what God has given you to do, whether as student or professor, family or staff. But remember that your salvation doesn't depend on your academic credentials any more than it depends on how good you do a job, cook a meal, or, to borrow from Luther, change a dirty diaper. Your worth in the lasting kingdom, the one that will appear at our Lord's second advent, depends only on Him who has made you His own by the gospel. Now, despite our status in Christ, we have not yet been perfected. That's what Paul is saying in verse 12 of our text. Not that I already obtained, perhaps referring to fully knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection, as he mentions in verse 10. Not that I already obtained or already have been perfected, but I keep on pursuing, if I might also attain, since indeed I was attained by Christ Jesus. We all know too well that we haven't been brought to our goal and perfected already. Though we know Christ by faith and His promises, we all know only partially. We see in a mirror dimly, as St. Paul says elsewhere. The ultimate goal is that our sinful flesh be destroyed, our bodies resurrected, and we serve Him perfectly in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. I'm a long way from such a perfected goal. Not only don't I know Christ yet as I ought, and hopefully will, but also I sin against Him and my neighbors daily and much. I let the concerns of this earthly life impede my pursuit of the goal. I ought to run like a well-trained athlete, keeping a steady pace with my eyes focused on the finish line. But I keep looking back behind me, recalling all my failures, all my times of laziness, the times when I failed to discipline my flesh and instead let it run rampant in its lustly pleasures, the times I brought shame upon myself, upon my vocation, and upon my God by my sins. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, Paul says in verse 13. But how can I forget such sins? How did Paul? Even the persecution of the church, which he mentions in his credentials earlier before our text. How can I forget such sins? The evil one keeps calling them back to remembrance. Can God really forgive such sins, such great sins as mine, so many sins? And then I stumble in my faith sometimes. I leave off my pursuit of the goal. I fail to hold true to the gifts of Christ that I have received. The prize won't be mine because I can't reach it. But have you forgotten so soon, dear Christian, what Paul says in the very first verse of our text? Not that I already received it or already have been perfected, but I keep on pursuing, if I might also attain it, since indeed I was attained by Christ Jesus. Here is a reality much greater than all your pursuing. Here is a truth that overcomes all your stumbling. You were attained by Christ. This was the purpose of His first advent. Christ came that He might make you His own. Christ came so that He might win you. How exactly? Luther summarizes this very nicely also in the Catechism. Jesus Christ, my Lord, has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. Purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death. Christ came down from heaven and relentlessly pursued our salvation. The devil tried to get Him off track from the goal. The world attempted to place obstacles in His path. Even his disciples, in the weakness of their flesh, would have distracted him. But Christ kept his eyes on Jerusalem. He kept his eyes on the goal of the cross, on the prize of our redemption. As Ambrose of Milan expresses it in his 4th-century Advent hymn, God the Father was his source. Back to God he ran his course. Into hell his road went down. Back then to his throne and crown. And because you have been attained by Christ Jesus, we're attained by Christ Jesus and now stand in that blessed status of being his own, because Christ pursued you with the gospel, sprinkled you with the waters of holy baptism, and continues to pursue you with his holy word and sacrament, continually making his advent to you with his gracious gifts. You may be assured that ultimately you will be brought to the goal, you will be perfected. You will receive the upward call of God that is in Christ Jesus when the Son returns at his second advent. So press on, dear Christian. Go for the gold. For the reality is that we pursue what is already ours in Christ. And because Christ has made you his own, you are assured of coming into possession of the eternal inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. You will be perfected. You will attain the resurrection of the dead and all the Advent and Christmas blessings that come with it forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand for the Benedictus.
Thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Ernest Hildebrand, father of Cantor Hildebrand, as his final days on this earth draw near. We also continue to pray for Joanne Ziroth as she awaits for her body to accept a bone marrow transplant.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Eternal Father, you alone make the decisions concerning life and death. We ask you to show mercy to your servant Ernest, whose death seems imminent. If it be your gracious will, restore him and lengthen his earthly life. But if not, keep him in his baptismal grace and in your abiding care. Give him a repentant heart, firm faith, and a lively hope. Let not the fear of death cause him to waver in confidence and trust. At your chosen time, grant him a peaceful departure and a joyous entrance into everlasting life with the glorious company of all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for hearing our prayers on behalf of your servant, Joanne, who has undergone surgery, and for bestowing upon the surgeon and the medical team special skills to attend to her needs. According to your good pleasure, cause this bone marrow transplant to be accepted by her body. Restore her fully to health and strengthen her that we may rejoice in your gift of healing. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord God, our Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea, and by a star you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide us now in this time as we set out to travel. Make our ways safe and our homecomings joyful, and bring us at last to our heavenly home, where you dwell in glory with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Spirit be with you all.